welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. Tonight, I have five cancer survivors on the show. My first guest is Oria McGarry, a 9-year non-Hodgkin's lymphoma survivor, who is the creator, producer, and host of the television show Live Your Legacy with Oria McGarry. She was earlier on the soap opera Edge of Night, and in 2003 won the Mrs. USA Beauty of Georgia contest. Her book, I Won't Survive, I'll Thrive, discusses her experience with cancer. More information is available at www.liveyourlegacytv.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Aurea, and I look forward to an interesting discussion.
Well, thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
Thank you. Now tell me first how you found out you had cancer and what factors you think caused it.
Well, it's kind of interesting how we found out about it, because there was a year that my brother was going through chemo for Hodgkin's cancer. And that was the time I, at that moment, was having chest pains myself. So I was going through chest pains that entire year and periodically going to a doctor to make sure nothing's wrong. And six different doctors all told me I was fine, even to the point where 6 months into my chest pains, I went to the emergency room because I couldn't move it. I couldn't sleep. It scared my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really hurting to bend over. Just something wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
And the emergency room asked me, how long have you had this pain? And I said, 6 months. And his words verbatim were, this is not an emergency. It's obviously not life-threatening. Go home.
Wow.
Eventually, I was out of breath, and my mother-in-law gave me the number of her lung specialist and said, I want you to see him. I would have never thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the lung specialist was the one that found that there was something wrong. They took a blood test, you know, the SED rate, and an X-ray, and it started to show up that there could possibly be a cancer in my body.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we found out a year later.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had to do surgery, and they said, want to go in and look around and see what's in there. So I had to sign off and give them carte blanche to, you know, debulk me, they call it, as you well know. And I did, and when I woke up, they told me, the good news is, it's not Hodgkin's, it's curable, you're going to be fine. The bad news is, they said we had to remove half of both your lungs, your thymus, which is where my cancer started. It infected my thymus gland.
Mm-hmm.
We had to remove the lining around your heart, disconnect half your diaphragm, and remove the left thoracic nerve to your vocal cord, and you'll never speak above a whisper ever again.
Oh.
It's impossible.
Hmm.
And when I woke up, I talked like this. And that's the way I talked for like almost a full year. And they guaranteed me it would not get better. But here I am talking on the radio all the time.
That's
and
great.
On the TV show. So it's definitely a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a lot of alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
So the minute the chemo was done, I went right into chelation treatment and took 10 chelation treatments, took vitamin C and B therapy, IV treatment as well. I did coffee enemas, and I took about $1,000 a month of vitamins from milk thistle to the colostrum and CoQ10, you name it, I was on it. But from that holistic doctor that told me what my body needed, because he gave me some testing, found out I was very acidic, found out what my bloodstream was missing. So I didn't just kind of guess at it, because the Hodgkin's and the lymphomas, they think it's more of a environmental that causes it.
Oh.
We could have been exposed to something living in New York City, because my brother had it, I had it, and my mother had it, and no cancer ever ran in our family before.
Oh.
And I still keep up treatments now. Let's see, my cancer was in 1999, so this year is 10 years, my 10-year anniversary being cancer-free.
Very good.
But what I find now, and you may find this with a lot of the people you talk with, I spend my time now always thinking about how to stay alive better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't take every day for granted. I don't just want to do things today that might be bad for me, like eat a lot of junk food, or just everything I do now is a means to stay alive. What can I do to be more healthy?
Mm-hmm.
My husband's into it as well, as far as health and nutrition.
Good.
We spend more time at the vitamin store and online, because I really want to make the best of the nutrition and the preventative now. Because I got sick once, and I don't want to just say, okay, well, I'll just wait till I break again and they can fix it again. What can I do now to better myself, to keep myself stronger as I age?
Mm-hmm.
So we're very, you know, up on that, very open to reading new books and learn about new things to stay healthy.
Do you get assessments yet so that you know what you should be taking like you did initially?
Yes. I have my cancer in Florida, and we've since moved to the Atlanta area. I found a new, like, holistic clinic, and I get even this heat imaging x-ray once a year.
Mm-hmm.
It started last year, and it can actually detect breast cancer like three years before a mammogram. It's a heat scan of your body,
mm-hmm.
and it shows if there's anything in there that could be like a cyst or a tumor, and it catches it way before
mm-hmm.
your normal x-rays will.
Mm-hmm.
I do that. I try to get chelation in, still big on all the vitamins and taking care of myself that way. And again, it becomes your part of your lifestyle now.
Right. Araya, you talked about the things that you're still doing. Are these some of the things then that you think caused the cancer initially?
Well, if I look back at my life, I wrote my book, and it's full of stress, and it's full of, a lot of bad eating habits and things. I was young in college and didn't eat right. You
mm-hmm.
drink to party, and you eat crackers for breakfast, and then you don't eat for 3 days. And I look back, and I see all the unhealthy habits I had
mm-hmm.
when I was young, and then growing up in New York City, which I'm sure is very polluted. So I know that might have had something to do with it. Not a lot of sleep. I was always in the theater world. I was a professional ice skater, so rising early, staying up late.
Mm-hmm.
So I see that as I probably ran myself down for years and years and years and years. And then it took a toll.
Do you eat meat?
Well, I was a vegetarian all that time. I never ate red meat since the time I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got cancer. I said, well, that didn't help
oh.
for me. But I just didn't eat meat because I don't like meat. I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I, but now every once in a while, I'll have a piece of red meat, but I still don't like it. Because I heard something. I read a book about the O positive blood type.
Mm-hmm.
And it talked about red meat can be good for our blood.
Mm-hmm.
So very rarely, but once in a while, I might have a piece. But normally, it's just chicken and fish. It's a lot of work to get your protein other places. I'm just a little more lazy to really work at that. So I do eat my chicken, and I do eat my fish.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I get my protein from. And my cottage cheese.
Oh, yeah. I eat fish and chicken, but that's it. I don't eat beef. I haven't for years. Now, Araya, the other thing I wanted to ask you, and I assume that this is so, but I want to clarify, are you using some mental spiritual activities?
I am huge on prayer. It
mm-hmm.
is a big part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I'm talking is a miracle. And God is very important in my life, so my prayer time is essential. My Christian faith is everything to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped me. I felt every prayer during my chemo days when I was sick. I had lots of people praying for me, lots of people putting me on their prayer chain. So that's where my life is. And I just attest this to, a miracle that I was even diagnosed. God put it in my husband's heart not to let this go. Don't brush this aside. And he was very adamant with me. He kept taking me to the doctor.
Right.
If it wasn't for him, I would be dead because, three or four doctors say I was fine. I would have said, oh, I guess I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
But he really pushed it, so it's a real, real miracle. So my faith is very important to me.
Right. I found that with my cancer, my faith and knowing that there was someone there was the two most important things because I have a very strong faith in God, and I knew that God was always going to be there directing me through this.
Then my husband did something really wonderful for me. Chemo really messed up my eyes because there was a prednisone in the CHOP therapy,
mm-hmm.
which is what my chemo is called. And every time I went on chemo, my eyes got really blurry. I couldn't read a magazine. I couldn't do anything but just sit there because my eyes were so blurry. So he bought me the Bible on tape. And
oh.
I would put on the headphones, and I would go to sleep to that every night in the hospital
mm-hmm.
and listen. They said the reading of the word is healing to the body.
Oh.
And I just loved that. It made me feel so warm and fuzzy. And made me feel like everything was going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that meant a lot to me.
That's wonderful, Araya.
It also made me laugh a lot, too. It's good to keep it something you
right.
remember, but all.
And that's supposed to be very healing also.
Absolutely, absolutely. Once you get to start going through it, you have to have a little comic relief. So surround
mm-hmm.
yourself with some fun people, too. It's not all doom and gloom. There's always light
right.
at the end of the tunnel.
Now, do you have any final words that you would like to give the audience before we talk about your book?
Well, I think what's most important when you're talking about cancer is to listen to your body. Nobody knows your body better than you, and if you know something is out of sorts, it's kind of like women's intuition. It's not a fact. It's not something you can put your finger on, but you just know there's something not right. Don't stop getting it checked out until somebody says, this is what's causing that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's why don't be afraid to question your doctors. I talk a lot about that in my book, too. question your doctor. Ask questions. And if you don't feel comfortable asking that particular doctor questions, he makes you feel you're taking up his time or it's stupid, you get another doctor.
Right.
Because it's your life, it's your body, and they should take all the time in the world with you to answer every question you have. And they should be all right with you getting second and third opinions.
Right.
And that's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. Then, Araya, would you like to tell us about your book and how the listeners can reach you?
I would love to. I wrote a book of my memoirs, and in the back of the book talks about how I overcame domestic violence and cancer. Lots of tips in there for what helped me overcome this cancer and get well, get diagnosed, the whole nine yards. And it's called I Won't Survive, I'll Thrive. And they can get it either on my website at liveyourlegacytv.com, or they can get it on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, all your normal online bookstores. And just look up Araya McGarry, or I Won't Survive, I'll Thrive.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate this very much, and I am so happy that you've had a long survival rate. It's great to hear other people that have come through, and it's also great to hear that faith has been an important part of the recovery.
Well, yeah, and it's, if they're listening to my voice right now, wherever they are in the world, they know they're listening to a miracle, that I should not even be able to be having this conversation on the phone with you today. And I want the listeners to know what's stopping them from their dreams coming true or for expecting their miracle, because miracles still happen. Just keep
right.
the faith.
So thank you very much, Araya.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
I look forward to hearing it, and just keep me posted.
Great. Thank you. My second guest is a longtime friend, Reverend Linda Wilson. Linda had a tumor of the kidney and used alternative treatments in her recovery. She has undergraduate degrees in English and respiratory therapy and a master's in theology and is an ordained Episcopal minister but currently works with the Catholic Apostolic Church. She writes when she has time and has a novel placed with an agent for publication. She can be reached at littlegiddings@hughes.net. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Linda, and I look forward to an interesting discussion. Tell me how you found out that you had cancer and what you think caused it.
Well, Carl, I had a kidney stone,
mm-hmm.
and I have never had surgery in my life. I'm never sick.
Mm-hmm.
But this kidney stone was unbelievably painful, and we had to go to the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
And I agreed to morphine because I was in such pain. And because of that, I agreed to a CAT scan, which I normally would not have.
Mm-hmm.
But I was on morphine, and so everything was jolly to me. I said, oh, yes, the CAT scan, that'll be just fine. And they picked up this mass, this tumor, on the CAT scan.
Mm-hmm.
This was at a local hospital up here in the Catskill,
mm-hmm.
a small hospital. So they sent me on to Cooperstown, to Bassett, which is a large medical facility.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to biopsy, and I was coming off of the morphine, and I would not allow anything invasive.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave me a CA-125, a blood test, which showed that there was cancer present. And the head of urology, who was called because I'd originally come in with a kidney stone,
mm-hmm.
said, it's cancer. I have called surgery and oncology, and we'll schedule your surgery. And I said, doctor, is that the way you make your decisions when you're on IV morphine? And he said, you have to have this surgery. I said, give me my clothes. I'm going home.
Mm-hmm.
I need to think about this. And he then said, in front of my husband and the young priest that went with us,
mm-hmm.
he said, if you leave here, you will die. And I said, if I want to be harassed, I'll call my dental hygienist.
Mm-hmm.
Now give me my clothes. So I went home. And the next day, I spoke to a friend who is not opposed to holistic natural means
mm-hmm.
of treating disease, but he leans more to conventional.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when I told him, I said, there is no way I will have surgery. That's one of the ways you spread cancer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That was in my physiology book when I studied to be a respiratory therapist.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the four causes. He said, well, if you're convinced that you will not take the usual course, you should talk to a friend of mine. And I talked to his friend who'd had cancer and went to a local family practice physician after this fellow had been through chemo and he was on radiation and he was getting sicker and sicker. And this family practice physician put him on high doses of vitamin C IV and alternated it with hydrogen peroxide. And the the oncologist had given this man up, and now he's been cancer-free for over 7 years. So, of course, that's the doctor I went to.
And then what was your total treatment regime, Linda?
What I'm taking is a natural substance that is widely used in Europe. In Europe, it's called Avamar. I believe it was developed in Czechoslovakia. I'm not certain. But it is available in this country under the name Ave, A-V-E, with a diacritical mark on the E. And it's a fermented wheat product, and you drink it once a day, and it's got a very slightly flavored with citrus. It's very pleasant, and I'm cancer-free. But I also have to tell you that the family practice physician I attended spent 2.5 hours with me and went over my chart and did testing, and he said the tumor was not immediately life-threatening, as that physician had told me it was. So now it's been 4 years ago, and I feel healthy as an ox.
Now, Linda, you did red clover and all at one time, didn't you?
I did what?
Didn't you take red clover and some
Yeah, I've used red clover, but also EZ-Act. At the very at the very outset, I used EZ-Act. It was very odd. My husband and I were on a book buying trip, and we were in the Pennsylvania mountains. And at a flea market, we met this fellow, Mountain Jack, called himself, and he knows a lot about Native American herbal medication. At that time, I didn't know I had cancer, but I knew that I had a friend with cancer. And he introduced me to EZ-Act, and I got some for her. And then shortly after, I was diagnosed, and I used EZ-Act, and I'm sure that had a very beneficial effect.
Now, I know you become a pastor during this, and also that you use other mental, spiritual activities. Can you talk some about these?
Well, yeah, Carl, I can, because I feel when we talk about holistic medicine, what we really are aiming at is true wholeness, and whole and holy have the same root, whole, holy, and health. All come from the same Middle German root, Heil. And I think that part of that concept isn't just that we use good natural means of feeding ourselves, our food daily, and what herbs we use, but that we have a spiritual discipline. And I know that can be difficult for people that have fallen away from their faith, or perhaps don't have a faith, but I think that it's very key to our healing. And for those folks, I think if they practice a quiet time somewhere, they will come to realize that we're not alone in this physical world at all, that we are imbued with spirit.
What is your diet like then, Linda?
Well, we have been vegetarians for almost 30 years, and we only eat organic vegetables. My husband, when he had time, was a wonderful organic gardener. Now he just grows garlic and potatoes, and we trade for the other things.
Mm-hmm.
Here in the Northwest Catskill, there's a lot of organic farming, a lot of natural cheese, and there are free-range chickens, there are cows that are grass-fed, and we could actually eat the meat here,
mm-hmm.
because it doesn't have any growth hormone.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been vegetarians so long, we only eat meat if we're at someone's home. We don't
right. yeah.
insist that they do something special for
mm-hmm.
us.
Mm-hmm. You said it's been 4 years, and have you continued most of the regime then? Are you still seeing your doctor and your...
Yes, he's my regular doctor. I see him weekly, but the reason for that is, as I said, I'm cancer-free, but
mm-hmm.
he discovered that both HL and I have an inordinate amount of lead in our system.
Oh.
A high... normal
mm-hmm.
for an adult
mm-hmm.
is factor of 5, and HL and I were both at 75,
which
we believe is because of the time we grew up. When we were growing up, paint had lead in it.
Right.
I'm sure I ate lots of the paint off of my baby crib.
Right.
Lead was used in so many ways in gasoline. So I see him for chelation, which flushes the lead out
mm-hmm.
of the system. Lead is a carcinogen.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a factor.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm down to, I don't know, probably a factor of maybe 35, which is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
It's really coming down.
Right.
So that's why I see
mm-hmm.
him. He's our regular family doctor, too.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And he always promotes natural means. He could prescribe antibiotics, and if you insisted... he would in certain circumstances, but very rarely. I had a virulent bladder infection, and normally an antibiotic would be prescribed, and normally that would
mm-hmm.
end it in 30, 36 hours. Well, when I had this, he said, look, I have a natural method of treating this. It's D-mannose. It's a powder. It's an extract of cranberry. So I said, of course, I'll try that first. And the bladder infection was over within 30 hours, just as it would have been with the antibiotic, but I didn't
yeah.
do any damage to myself.
Right, right. So will you tell us about your bookstore and how the listeners can reach you if they're interested in old books?
Absolutely. We've been in the rare and used book business, mainly good used books in all categories, for 25 years. And they can reach me by calling area code 607-538-1555 or my email, which is Little Gidding as one word. That's like the T.S. Eliot poem. It's L-I-T-T-L-E. G is in God, I, D is in dog, D is in dog, I-N-G, at Hughes, H-U-G-H-E-S .net, Hughes.net.
Great.
Thank you, Carl.
Well, I thank you, Linda. It's been very interesting, and I know it will be helpful to the listeners.
Okay.
My third guest is Regina Leeds, a 7-year survivor of third-stage uterine cancer who used traditional and alternative treatments. Regina is a professional organizer who authored 6 books, including the New York Times bestseller, 1 Year to an Organized Life. More information is available at www.reginaleeds.com.
I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Regina, and I look forward to an interesting discussion.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here, Carl.
Thank you. Tell me how you found out that you had cancer and what factors you think caused it.
Oh, my goodness. It was in January of 2002 I began to bleed very heavily. And the first 2 months, I worked with my acupuncturist, who has been my doctor for almost 20 years. I am more a devotee, if you will, of Eastern than Western medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And after 2 months, the bleeding had stopped, but then it came back, and she said I had to go see my OBGYN. And at that time, he wanted to immediately do a D&C to remove what he diagnosed as a polyp when he did a test in the office. And I asked him if it was all right to continue trying to deal with the polyp through Chinese medicine, because I knew that there was a high success rate in that area with Chinese herbs.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me there was only a 1% chance that it could be cancer, and that if I was willing to deal with what he termed the mess, it was okay for me to do Chinese medicine for a few months. A few months later, I started to have incredible cramping, and I called his office to make sure this was the polyp, and they said, yes, it's the polyp growing. You don't have to worry about it. You're fine. You can wait. You can continue with the Chinese medicine. And then at the end of May, I just thought, you know what, I can't do this anymore. So I made an appointment to have the D&C,
mm-hmm.
and it was at that point that I found out that I had uterine cancer, and that it, in effect, I had not been treated appropriately. I should have had a uterine biopsy in the
mm-hmm.
office,
mm-hmm.
and that would have been the definitive diagnosis, and then I could have had a hysterectomy right away. So the weight caused me to go from stage one to stage three,
oh.
and at that point I needed 6 rounds of chemotherapy,
mm-hmm.
as well as the full abdominal hysterectomy.
Mm-hmm. What was the prognosis?
There was a 50 to 70% chance that I would be cured,
mm-hmm.
and we wouldn't know for 5 years, although they did tell me that usually if uterine cancer is coming back, it comes back within the first 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm coming up on my 7-year anniversary, and I was pronounced cured last year when I went in for my annual exam. So
right.
I am very grateful.
Mm-hmm. And, Regina, what was your treatment regime besides the surgery?
Well, first I had the total abdominal hysterectomy with staging for cancer, which, in case anyone doesn't know, is where they move your organs around and they're looking for solid tumors. And I was very blessed not to have any. I did have many, many positive nodes, and I had loose cancer cells in the omentum.
Mm-hmm.
So then I began, 3 weeks after surgery, I began a regimen of chemotherapy, which was Taxol principally, which is the standard for that particular
mm-hmm.
regimen, and then carboplatin.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe in alternative medicine, so what I did concurrent with that was I had regular chiropractic adjustments. I did about 2 a week,
mm-hmm.
and then 2 or 3 times a week I would have an acupuncture treatment, and then I also had a special tea that my doctor put together for me. And both of those modalities, along with meditation, enabled me to deal with the chemotherapy, to endure it much better. I felt that the Chinese herbs and the chiropractic and the meditation kept putting me back together
mm-hmm.
as the chemotherapy was breaking down my body.
Mm-hmm.
So I certainly strongly recommend that anyone add those protocols to their plan. And also, I was very, very blessed, Carl, because
mm-hmm.
I've been a vegetarian for many, many years, and
mm-hmm.
I don't drink, and I don't do drugs, and I don't smoke. And I think when your body is pretty cleaned out and pure, what happens is, at least it was my belief, that the chemotherapy was able to do its job because my body was so sensitive to it.
Mm-hmm. And, Regina, tell us a little bit about your spiritual beliefs, because I know from talking with you that that was one of the important aspects also.
Yes, it is. I was very, very blessed. I have to say that from the time I was a child, I've been on a spiritual quest. I was raised a Roman Catholic, and I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. And then when I was 17, I left the church. And around 21, I became interested in religious science, which is the philosophy of Ernest Holmes. And I stayed in that philosophy for about 10 years, and they have many, many classes. And it really shifted my thinking from guilt and blame, which at that time is how the Catholicism was based, to an understanding of cause and effect, where you have much more control over what happens to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of that journey, I had met my guru, and I had been doing yoga, the postures, for a number of years, and then I realized that this was the end of my journey, that this is, I had come home.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, Carl, that more, the journey itself through cancer was difficult,
mm-hmm.
but a survivor said something to me a few days after I was diagnosed, which was so true. She said, right now you think cancer is doing things to you.
Mm-hmm.
One day you will find out it is doing things through you and for you.
Right.
And it certainly made me a much better person. And I discovered through the journey that my spiritual life
mm-hmm.
was real. My relationship with God was real.
Mm-hmm.
And I did everything I had to do to the best of my ability. And I was ready for any outcome. Whatever God wanted was
mm-hmm.
fine with me.
Mm-hmm. Which of the interventions that you used are you continuing at this point?
Oh, I continue to have acupuncture now instead of several times a week. I go once every other week,
mm-hmm.
and I continue taking my herbal teas, which is a large tea bag which is made for me by my doctor, and the formula changes periodically because the body gets used to whatever it's taking,
mm-hmm.
and that can reduce the efficacy of the herbs. And unfortunately, I don't do chiropractic anymore because my sweet chiropractor passed away. Ironically, she died of cancer about 2 years after I finished my journey.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm basically Chinese medicine
mm-hmm.
based.
Mm-hmm. In retrospect, what are the things that you think led up to your having cancer?
I think it was emotional, actually. I think it came from having a basic issue with codependency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, Carl, there's no accident as to where your
right.
cancer is
mm-hmm.
in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever it is, it's giving you a message. And I think when you have uterine cancer, you have to face that you have relationship issues. And certainly I had issues with choosing the wrong men and dealing with the ramifications of the sorrow that comes with
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't say that as a way to blame myself. I say that as a way to understand what the causes were so that I can put something else in motion and have different effects. And
mm-hmm.
I think I have really worked very hard and continue to
mm-hmm.
to heal the childhood wounds that came, you know, that caused me to make the decisions I made.
Right. Well, this has been very interesting. Now, Regina, will you tell us about your books and products?
Well, actually, I am a professional organizer. I've been working one-on-one with people for 21 years. And about 10 years ago, I started writing. And right now, I'm writing a series of books for DeCapo, my publisher in New York. They're a division of Perseus. And the first in the series was 1 Year to an Organized Life. And I actually write about my journey with cancer in that book. And then this year, 1 Year to an Organized Work Life came out, and that's about applying the practical and spiritual aspects of organizing so that you can accomplish whatever it is you want to do in life with more ease.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just finishing writing the next one in the series, which will be out in December of 2009, and that is 1 Year to an Organized Financial Life. And I'm doing that with a wonderful financial planner whose name is Russell Wild.
Mm-hmm.
And these books are all available at Amazon. And if people want to write to me, they can come to reginaleeds.com. That's L-E-E-D-S. And I personally answer all my email.
Oh, great. Well, I appreciate this very much, Regina, and I look forward to talking with you again.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity to share my story, Carl.
Thank you.
My fourth guest is Les Thiel, a 3-time survivor of ovarian cancer who also used traditional and alternative treatments. She now talks with cancer patients several times a week and is in the process of putting up a website. She can be reached at area code 617-834-1597.
I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Les. Tell me now how you found out that you had cancer and what you think caused it.
Hi, and thank you for letting me weigh in.
Thank you, Les.
I was initially diagnosed in 2001, and I was in very good physical condition. And I was really taken by surprise. I just walked across the United States to draw awareness to child abuse. And when I'd just gotten back, very few months before, and I just was feeling strange. The only sense that I had that anything was happening was my body. I had energy, was a sickening around the waist.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, well, I'm 51. I suppose that's to be expected.
Mm-hmm.
But I really didn't have a lot of symptoms. However, the night before I was diagnosed, I had a dream that was poignant and very strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew when I woke up that morning there was something dramatically happening.
Mm-hmm.
As the day went on, I just felt odd, and I felt stranger and stranger. And finally, I called a physician friend here in the valley, and actually didn't get her. I got her partner, and he said, go down to the emergency room. I'll call and see who's on, and just tell them what you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, and he ordered some tests. And I just knew. I knew that there was something up. And when I had a vaginal ultrasound and then I had a CT scan, and I asked the person operating the machine with the scan how big it was,
mm-hmm.
because I knew they wouldn't tell me anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember their saying, oh, well, it's certainly there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I knew. And I went back. I was checked in, and I was waiting for Dr. Waterhouse to come back. He and his wife, Lori, were out at a dinner of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
He came back over to the hospital later, and I had already started talking to it. I didn't know what it was, and I don't think I equated it with cancer, but I'd already begun the process of moving that energy out of my body.
Mm-hmm.
He came in and basically said, you have a tumor that is an abdominal tumor. I think it's attached to your ovaries. And he said it's part solid and part liquid.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I would say 90% chance that this is cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was prepared at that moment because it didn't really throw me hard.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a word I was very happy about hearing, but it didn't throw me as hard as I think it might have.
Right. Now, what was your treatment regime then?
I had surgery. They do a laparoscope, look-see, and then if there's anything that needs doing, I had a cesarean-looking surgical site,
mm-hmm.
and they sent the tumor off for testing, and it came back as a serous epithelial type of ovarian cancer, very
mm-hmm.
common, and it was stage 3C, which
mm-hmm.
is just a description of where it migrated around the body. It was in the abdominal cavity and bowel area and attached to the diaphragm.
Mm-hmm.
And they did what they called debulking, which is basically scraping around. And then I went into the chemotherapy routine of, I think it was Taxol and carboplatin.
Mm-hmm.
And it brought my numbers right down.
Mm-hmm.
But I did start to feel lousy, and I thought, I'm not going to do this. And that's when I began my entry into the holistic world.
Mm-hmm.
I already had a practice in place of meditation,
mm-hmm.
and I had been doing that for years.
What other interventions did you use besides the meditation?
I used diet.
Mm-hmm.
I started learning about the Ayurvedic diet
mm-hmm.
and different diets that were available.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that I just needed to eat a clean food
mm-hmm.
and drink clean, filtered water
mm-hmm.
and focus more on vegetables and fruit. I was already a fish eater, but not a meat nor poultry eater.
Mm-hmm.
I changed the balance. I got far less protein and more fruit. I cut out dairy,
mm-hmm.
and I think that was very important.
Right, right.
And I exercised, and
mm-hmm.
I stretched, And I surrounded myself with positive people.
Mm-hmm. Very important. Mm-hmm. You said that was 2001, right?
Yes. And I finished treatment in November of 2001, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have any sense of the return of that kind of energy into my body until year before last. And that was when I had my first reoccurrence.
Mm-hmm.
And we caught it very early. I caught it. I do a body scan when I'm meditating.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring in light, but I'm actually looking around. And I saw it. And I called my oncologist and my physician, who's also a surgeon in Boston, and I told them it was back. And they believed me.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Boston, and a laparoscopy was performed, and my surgeon found some very minuscule lesions, and very few of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something that did not get picked up on a CT scan, nor an ultrasound. I mean, there wasn't enough of anything
mm-hmm.
there to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through a program of chemotherapy, and I found out how my body would be impacted by the chemotherapy, and talked to experts who could tell me how to be proactive in not having that particular breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
And diet, and I did well with it.
And did you add anything new this time from what you used last time?
I added some herbs and
some
basic Chinese medicine. You know, I don't even remember.
Oh, you don't?
I don't. And I would say there are naturopaths who are also oncologists.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
There's a Dr. Mitch Gaynor in New York City, and he gave me the names of herbs that I could take that would
mm-hmm.
be safe. And I read a lot of Dr. Andrew Weil's work, but I would not go out and self-prescribe
mm-hmm.
an herbal regimen.
Mm-hmm.
I would have an expert. And the reason I like Dr. Gaynor is his background, not only in oncology, but in hematology.
Mm-hmm. And so you continue all of this regime now?
I do. I've actually had three reoccurrences, sort of one on top of another,
mm-hmm.
with a few months in between.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been very focused on building my health
mm-hmm.
and going toe-to-toe with what the Western treatment is.
Mm-hmm.
I have not had further surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And my blood work, the CA-125,
mm-hmm.
which is a protein measure for ovarian cancer, would shift slightly. But my CA-125 says have, as a rule, run 2 and 3 and maybe 5. Once they even start going up to 6, 8, or 9,
mm-hmm.
that signals something with me. I happen to have a very sensitive response to that test.
Mm-hmm.
But my oncologist then would go in, and we would find maybe some traces on the CT scan
mm-hmm.
and be proactive in knocking it out.
Right. So, in your parting words to the listeners, what would you like to say?
Well, I'd like to say that medicine is one area, it's one form of treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And wellness and health are an equally important form of treatment. And prognosis is a description of what Western medicine can and cannot do for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a description of what is available and what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And you do want those opinions. You want the opinions of people who do this all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's information, but it's no more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you treat it as that, and you aggressively find other information that you know, whether you do it through prayer or whether you do it through meditation or walking in the woods, swimming, just ask the question, and you'll get a pretty good idea of what that treatment should be.
Right. Now, do you have services or books or products of any sort you'd like to talk about?
I don't.
Yeah.
I talk to cancer patients nearly
mm-hmm.
daily.
Right.
And I will start a website
mm-hmm.
in hopes that I can share some of this information.
Great, yeah.
It's just been a gift to be able to give back and share.
Right, right. That's the way I feel, Les, is I was saved 33 years ago for some reason, and this is my way of giving back.
But you were proactive in saving yourself. And my advice is do not sit this out.
Right.
Don't
right.
hand your power over to any one area or any one group of people. And certainly, if you're tired and you need to have something withholding your power for you for a while. That's between you and your God, as
right.
you know God.
Right.
And no other place.
Right. I thank you very much, Les. I appreciate your spending time with me.
Thank you, Carl.
My last guest is Lori Caban, who is a brain cancer survivor using both traditional and alternative treatments. Lori has baccalaureate and master's degrees and is a research librarian. She advocates for cancer and health care and speaks and provides workshops for cancer survivors and professionals, including being a spokesperson for the American Cancer Society. She also gives radio and television interviews. More information is available at www.cancerologist.com.
I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Lori.
Thank you.
First, tell me how you found out that you had cancer and what you think caused it.
Certainly. Christmas Day of 2006, I and my family awoke to the realization that today was the day, it was Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
And with enthusiasm and excitement, we were all arising, getting ready to open gifts and so forth. I noticed that I wasn't feeling well. I had a horrific headache, which was unusual for me. I was dizzy, nauseous, and vomiting. I was taking a rest, actually, on the side of the bed, and I was speaking with my husband,
mm-hmm.
who was trying to keep our kids under control at the moment with the excitement and so forth.
Right.
And I began to slur my words. My husband at that time said, I think we should take you to the emergency room. And I remember sort of laughing and saying, I'm not going to the hospital on Christmas Day. That's crazy.
Right, right.
That's the last thing I remember before going into a grand mal seizure.
Oh.
The kids called 911, and they actually ran to some of our neighbors' homes. Our neighbors happened to be doctors and physicians, so
mm-hmm.
they brought some neighbors to our house. And soon the ambulance and fire truck descended on our quiet suburban cul-de-sac here, and I was whisked away in the ambulance. After a day of testing and doctor visits and scans and so forth, I was given the news that I had a brain tumor. 2 days later, I underwent what's called a craniotomy, which is a brain surgery that lasted 4.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctors were able to remove part of the tumor, but not all of it. So
mm-hmm.
I will always have a part of that brain tumor in my head.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the cause, I believe that it is environmentally caused to some extent. I'm
mm-hmm.
sure there are genetic predispositions
mm-hmm.
to that as well. However, I grew up in a household of smokers for the first 18 years of my
mm-hmm.
life. I lived with a mother and father who smoked heavily. After that, I left to go to college. And
mm-hmm.
the job that I had to put myself through college was working at a place where 200 delivery trucks started up every morning in the building. And everyone in that building was there breathing those fumes. I worked there for 11 years. And it was shortly after I left that I was diagnosed with brain cancer.
Mm-hmm. I just wonder if it could be a combination of environmental factors and host factors, in that your diet may have been a little bit off, you might not have been getting adequate rest, a lot
Certainly.
Of the personal health things. Because in public health, we always look at things as a man, agent, and environmental factor. And
mm-hmm.
so that there are factors in the environment, but there's also host factors that trigger the specific health concern that people have. So
sure.
I don't know if you've ever thought about what are some of the things that may have been going on in your life at that particular time that might have triggered this, because you had had that exposure, but it took this amount of time for something to show up, right?
Correct.
So I think at some time you might want to just go back and think about, were there other factors in my own life that might have
triggered? Oh, certainly. Yes, definitely. I grew up in a very stressful environment. My childhood was stressful.
Uh-huh.
I was working overnight shifts for many hours. I would get a few hours of sleep here and there
mm-hmm.
a day and then be home with my children during the day. I worked
yeah.
the overnight shift so I could be home with my kids during the day. So
uh-huh. yeah.
definitely there were
right.
there are many, many issues
right.
to be
yep.
looked at there.
What was a prognosis at that time, Lori?
I have what is called an oligodendroglioma brain tumor. It is grade 2. It's a slow-growing tumor, so certainly it was present during perhaps even the past decade before
mm-hmm.
I was showing any signs.
Mm-hmm.
The prognosis for my kind of tumor is favorable.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'm a young, healthy, active, fit person.
Mm-hmm.
The only strike I have against me is that the tumor was not fully resectable, but that can be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many, many new cutting-edge technologies that are coming out that are on the horizon for brain tumor survivors.
Right.
So the goal right now is to keep it stable and to not do any more harm to my body,
mm-hmm.
improve my immune system and my health to the highest level, and then wait for those cutting-edge treatments to become available.
Mm-hmm. This must have been very frightening to go through all of
this. Oh, certainly it was, not only for myself, but for my family as well, my children especially.
Right, right. Now, you said you had surgery, and what other treatment or interventions did you use?
I, at this time, have chosen to forgo radiation and chemo.
Uh-huh.
Historically speaking, radiation has been the treatment of choice. However, the medical community is now acknowledging the fact that radiation may not be the first choice,
mm-hmm.
nor the best choice.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually might be best to save that as a last choice.
Mm-hmm.
Chemotherapy agents are just becoming available for brain tumor survivors. The issue with chemotherapy has always been the blood-brain barrier.
Mm-hmm.
So in light of those two issues, the damage that could be done by radiation, short-term and long-term, and the fact that I did not want to wipe out my immune system totally with chemotherapy.
Right.
And there didn't seem to be any evidence at this point that chemo in and of itself would be successful.
Mm-hmm.
I decided to do what in the medical community is called watch and wait, but what I call watch and live,
mm-hmm.
which means that I have MRIs every 3 months. I have a neuro-oncology visit every 3 months. And I am carefully monitored for symptoms that would signal a recurrence.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also use some mental and spiritual activities, right, that have been a
That's
part
correct.
Of your life anyhow?
I chose things such as adopting a primarily raw food vegan diet.
Mm-hmm.
I juice daily, which means that I take vegetables and put them through my juicer and have that as sort of my morning breakfast. I also use massage and Reiki and
mm-hmm.
visual imagery and my own spiritual beliefs and support groups with friends and family. So I really view it as a comprehensive treatment plan that involves
right.
all of those things to address
mm-hmm.
every level of my life that I can.
Mm-hmm. And so it's been how long now since you had the surgery?
I'm 29 months out from the craniotomy.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you're doing a great job with the treatments that you're having. Well, is there anything you would like to say to the listeners in parting before we talk about your services and products?
Well, I would like to say that if you're diagnosed with cancer or a chronic illness, fight. Fight for your life. Make sure that you're armed, and you need to be armed with adequate levels of information.
Mm-hmm.
Get many, many different opinions. Especially with brain tumors, a lot of times the doctor in your local area may say your brain tumor is inoperable.
Mm-hmm.
But if you travel to some of the more premier centers for whatever type of illness you have and obtain those second and third opinions from those experts,
mm-hmm.
you might find that indeed your condition is treatable,
mm-hmm.
that your brain tumor is operable.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of your body and your health. Make sure that you are putting yourself first. I found that in my own life, one of the reasons I became ill was I wasn't at the bottom of my list. I wasn't on my own list.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else was before me, and now I see the harm that that caused.
Right.
And that's one of the most important lessons I learned.
Mm-hmm.
The other important lesson I learned was that it's okay to accept help. I was never one to accept help. I was super mom and super woman and able to do everything
mm-hmm.
on my own.
Right.
So those are some important lessons that I learned.
Well, this is great insight, Lori, and I'm glad you could share that with us. Now, tell us about the services and products that you have to offer. I know that you have gotten very involved in helping people that have cancer.
Oh, definitely. I am a research librarian by profession, so that combined with my personal experience of 2.5 years in this cancer world has really equipped me to be able to be a resource for people.
Mm-hmm.
I talk with people about their specific health illness. If they are looking for some research, perhaps in medical journals or online or on websites or help in obtaining second opinions, I can help them do those things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I do inspirational speaking. I talk to groups and organizations about what it's like to live with a terminal cancer diagnosis,
mm-hmm.
what it's like to go through what I've gone through and come through the process stronger than when I started. I teach workshops and classes. I talk about holistic healing options and what kinds of alternative treatments there are for people.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about things like raw foods and juicing and the role that can play in one's life and detoxification.
Mm-hmm. Now, how can the listeners reach you if they're interested in contacting you?
I have a website, and the address is www.cancerologist.com.
Well, thank you very much, Lori. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
I thank you for joining me on the Holistic Health Show for interviews with 5 cancer survivors. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. Have a good week and visit my website at www.holistichealthshow.com for upcoming shows.